All right. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Now, before I read that, I want y'all to notice that verse 33 ends with the word boldness. Y'all with me? Okay, because that's the end of the prayer. Remember, they prayed the prayer last week. We talked about that. They prayed the prayer, and then the place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, you do know you got how to roll something and flip it. You knew exactly where to find it. I say that because of this. Chapter 4 really should have ended with the word boldness. And chapter 5 should have really started there, because everything from here all the way into chapter 5 is talking about the same stuff. All right? So now, let's read verse 32 of chapter 4. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. See, it's not that other folks ain't got folks that, you know, founders that died. Ours just came back. Yes. See, death could not keep him. Glory to God. In Revelation, he said, I'm he that was dead, but now I'm alive, and I got the keys. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey. Openly practicing homosexuals. Now, I remember years ago when Charles Stanley was trying to fight this stuff, and he was running for president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and the convention was so much strife and bickering and confusion that normally whoever's running for president, okay, but he also did not believe in the resurrection. Well, see, if you don't believe in the resurrection, shut the church down. You are not a church, not a Christian church, because without the resurrection, there's nothing. There's nothing. Everything we have is predicated upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul said, listen, if Christ be not risen, man, you might eat, drink, and be merry. Of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and great grace. Not just grace, great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Think about this. Here you got an environment where the word of God is going forth, the power of God is going forth. People are nobody lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. And they laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, Joseph, who by the apostles, something I never thought about. Now, you know, this is Jim Woods. You can take this or you can leave this. Now you notice it mentions that the apostles nicknamed Joseph Barnabas, which means the son of consolation, all right? And obviously, he identifies Barnabas for one reason and gets something. And look how, no, they got a nickname for him and everything. You know, people can't stand to notice somebody on the inside crowd and they not. See, the problem is, Ananias wanted to look like Barnabas, but he didn't have Barnabas' character. You get that? He did not have Barnabas' character. All right? But what I find fascinating is that Luke uses the word kept that is only used a few times in Scripture. What I find really fascinating is that in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, this is the same word that they used when Achan kept what he wasn't supposed to take that belonged to God. The exact same word. Now listen to what Peter says here. while it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? All right? Now listen. What Peter is saying is, first of all, ain't nobody make you give nothing. It was yours. It was always yours. When you saw, they wanted to appear as though they gave it all so that they would get the credit for giving it all and still have it. So that they would look like they were such sacrificial givers when in fact they were not. So the intent of the heart was to give a false impression. I want to look like I'm a big giver, but I'm not really giving it all. I'm keeping back part. But they had something. Okay, so now, so he doesn't listen. It was yours all along. Nobody tried to take it from you. Okay? And when he says, in the latter part of that verse, was it not thine own run off at the mouth? And things was tight, and I was praying, and I ran off the mouth. I said, Lord, you know what I'm going to do? The next time I get blessed with some money, I'm going to give it to you. And this particular year, we were going to Blue Mountain in March, when it was cold as all get out. And this particular year, I couldn't stay up there, so I was riding back and forth. I was going back and forth. And I wanted to run to come up out of my spirit so I can comfort the lady, say something to her, and nothing coming. And I'm saying, oh, my God, all the stuff that happened to her, Lord, you got to give me something to say to her. Well, when she gets done listing all these tragedies, this is what she says to me. She said, I'm telling you this, Pastor, was to say, I've come into some money. Now, I've never heard nobody start out something like that. What? Yo, bro, what? You want to know how much the check is for, don't you? Hold up, check for $1,000. Hey, glory to God. I know what to do with this. We got bills. We got stuff we got to pay. So I get home and say, Barbara, I got a check for $1,000. She said, well, didn't you tell the Lord? She said, I don't want that money. I'm not touching that money. I'm not putting my hands on that money. Okay. Now, watch this. Verse 3, it said, okay, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? That's the thing about that verse I want you to notice. So now let's go back down to the other part. Okay, so what he's being accused of is lying to the Spirit of God. So that means he done said something. Hello? And see, what happens is we have gotten to the point where we don't value what comes out of our mouth. But you will have to give an account for what comes out of your mouth. As a matter of fact, I know she's been on TBN a couple, Dr. Caroline Leaf. Have you seen some of her teaching? She does she's a neuropathologist, she's a neuroscientist, how you remember stuff. See, a memory is actually a physical substance in your brain. It's something. You understand? It's a chemical and physical reaction inside the brain. Well, what happens is they've discovered that when you take in a thought, positive or blessed thing, whatever thing is good, lovely, perfect, and good report, think of those things. What that does is really reprogram your brain. Now, based on the way your brain is programmed, it emits certain hormones that affect the body. And what will happen is, let's just say you worried about stuff all the time, and you fret, or you angry with somebody and don't want to forgive them, or whatever the case is, but it's all contrary to what God has said. What happens is you literally tell your brain. But what they also discovered, see, years ago in the 80s, They told people if you have brain damage, there's nothing that can be done because the brain does not produce new brain cells. Well, today they realized they were wrong. Not only does the brain produce new brain cells, the brain actually has the capacity to reprogram itself in your brain. So you can literally begin the process of undoing all the damage caused. Now, in the case of Ananias and Sapphira, let me tell you something. We don't know how long they had been plotting on figuring out a way. And see, it may have started like this. See how Barnabas then got in good with them? Yeah, we're going to figure out. He part of verse 4. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose. He didn't call his wife first. They done had the service, and he interned. And she don't even know. Listen, she ain't got the death certificate, so she don't know the cause of death or nothing. Because if she had a heads up, they wouldn't have had a double ceremony. Mm-mm-mm. But see, this also shows you the power. So they buried him. Verse 7. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, I'm telling the boy in the ground, she don't even know this. So she show up. See, I think she showed up because she wanted to join in the accolations and praise that they got for the gift, their donation, you know. She wanted to come in there. So she show up. Not a witness for the defense. And there's the scene where the defense attorney calls the wife back the second time because he's got the letters and stuff, right? And he's got him covered up so he can, because he doesn't know everything yet, so he got it covered up. But he don't want her to see. So he's reading off a paper where he done wrote notes. Said, on such and such a date, did you write a letter to so-and-so? She said, no, that's a lie. I didn't do no then. And Peter said, And Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? They in agreement. And that's the thing. And Peter's so caught off guard. Because you know, sometimes stood there and lied right to Peter's face. Okay? How is it y'all have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door. Now, this the first time she knowing he dead. Wait a minute. At the door. So wait a minute. Y'all done had the service and everything. I ain't see no flowers laying around here or nothing. No programs was left out. And yielded up the ghost. You know, one of the things that I find very interesting is that when we read in chapter 4, people were bringing the money, they were laying it at the apostles' feet, and they were doing all of this stuff, and they were not only were they giving homage to God, they were recognizing the authority of the apostles. Well, apparently, they didn't even have sense enough. And the young men came in and found her dead. Now, let me just say this. Now, in the case of a husband, they were in the room when he died. So by the time they get back in there, she already out. They didn't get to see that one. They said by the time they got there, that must be the wife. Okay, let's get her to. And now think about this. Now, you on the burial crew, and you just come back on the body, and they knew it was the wife. You know the thoughts of, man, that's a whole sermon for one of you creative people. So what you think of that? The young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth and buried her by her husband. Now, verse 11 is the key. And great. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Now, I was not there. But I'm going to tell you. Yeah, a whole lot of folks didn't go to that next service. They wanted to make sure the epidemic was over. If you heard folks were dropping dead in the church, come on. Especially couples that have been arguing. I ain't going to. Of R. Hugh. How can I express this? Okay, I know how to do it. I got it. Okay. You notice in the vampire pictures that the people who Dracula get first ain't okay? And you notice in the movies and the monster pictures who falls when they run? That don't happen to us. Because see, we have the gift of leaving scary. Okay? We can vacate scary better than anybody. Okay? All right. See, somebody sit up. I guarantee you that there ain't going to be but a few people there to greet the brother. And the only reason why they gonna be there is because they got trampled by the rest of y'all leaving. And I guarantee you that the undertaker gonna be out the door first. Okay. No, he making too much noise. And he done too much crazy stuff. Yeah, no, we ain't gotta be in the room with him. I still don't know how Moses got the elders to go up there and have dinner with God that time. Moses, no, it'll be all right. Yeah, no, it'll be all right. All right. I'm sure they went up there slowly. Okay. Demonstrations of the power of God is happening. Now, here's the thing, and I'm going to close on this. The people had such an attitude that have you ever wondered why the church did not continue this practice of having all things in common and everybody selling their stuff? You ever wonder how come that did? You know why? Because for your stuff and figured I don't need a job because Jesus coming. What? Yeah, Jesus coming. I don't need a job. I got work. And Paul had to lay down some rules and said, listen, if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. Because it's amazing the motivator hungry will be. Okay. It's amazing. And the whole point was, you don't, what would make you think? First, it had messed up everything. Well, first, you know what eventually would happen? The wives would have jumped up, killed them, kept the insurance money, paid their tithes, and went on to glory. But anyway, because everybody ain't putting up with that. Okay. It would look like an accident, though. It was never a mandate. It was something that based on what they were dealing with at the time and the motivations and the heart of the people. And remember, you had all them people that joined the church from out of town. They ain't want to go back where they were. Ain't no need of me keeping a house. There ain't nobody living in it. Ain't no need of me holding on the land that ain't nobody living. I ain't going back there. I might as well sell it and do something to do some good. Okay. Amen. Now, turn stays the same. The apostles preach the word. You got folks that like it, folks that don't. You got people that embrace the message, people that despise it. You got circumstances that occur, miracles that manifest, and the devil shows up and starts acting out. Now, here's something I want you to notice. How come the church at this point is over a year old? Some scholars say God that was released on the day of Pentecost was such force that it took 4 years before the devil dared show up and try to act out. It was almost like an atomic blast, and the devil had to wait for the radiation to dissipate before he could find, and he only found one couple to do this. That it would be based around the resurrection. But what would happen is it would actually be a couple days after the resurrection. These two principalities are coming because there's a change in the guard. The principalities that were over Jerusalem are being reassigned. And what happened in fresh. You know, Jesus then ascended. You know, the church is there. They acting. But their whole point is, listen, look, if we'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened, okay? And beside that, we heard it was the boss's idea to kill him. And they said, look, you can't say that around here. We're being sent somewhere else. we can't be around a lot of people for a while, so he sent us to this place they call in America. The enemy thinks he can stop the church. Okay? I want you to pay a strict to the types of things he does because he thinks that will work. Yeah. And the amazing thing is it causes the opposite effect. It's almost like he's helping us to grow. He don't know it, but God is using him for miracle growth. Yeah. The more obvious the devil has to be because his powers of deception are diminishing. That's why the book, listen, that's why you see stuff, I'm seeing stuff now that's commonplace that you know we never thought things would get that crazy. Okay? The devil just ain't that, wasn't that bold. But see, all the stuff coming out the closet. That means it becomes clearer and clearer for you to see because you got more and more light shine. So for us, we're getting more insight and revelation into what to do and how to do it. And the world is getting plunged deeper and deeper into darkness, and they're stumbling in it. But we see everything, including their stumbling. See, because when it was dark in Egypt, there was light in Goshen.